Hare Krishna. This morning we are discussing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, texts 28 and 29. So I'll read the first verse and then this, so that's text 28. You should all therefore remain here in Nilachala for some days, while I tour the sacred places of pilgrimage alone. Text 29. Translation. Actually, the Lord was controlled by the good qualities of all of his devotees. On the pretense of attributing faults, he tasted all these qualities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the accusations made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu against his beloved devotees actually showed his great appreciation of their intense love for him. Yet he mentioned these faults one after another, as if he were offended by their intense affection. The personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes behaved contrary to the regulative principles out of intense love for the Lord, and because of their love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes violated regulative principles of a sannyasi. In the eyes of the public, such violations are not good. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so controlled by his devotees' love that he was obliged to break some of the rules. Although accusing them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was indirectly indicating that he was very satisfied with their behavior in pure love of Godhead. Therefore, in verse 27, he mentions that his devotees and associates place more importance on love of Krishna than on social etiquette. There are many instances of devotional service rendered by previous acharyas who did not care about social behavior when intensely absorbed in love for Krishna. Unfortunately, as long as we are within the material world, we must observe social customs to avoid criticism by the general populace. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jaina Mutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Manchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in these verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are getting a glimpse into the very intimate and loving relationships and dealings between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Some very serious charges are being made. In the purport, violations of regular principles of a sannyasi. This is quite serious. Let's have a look at this. What's being said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Some context will also be helpful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attributing faults to his devotees. What we see here are three things. So there's breach of etiquette. That's the accusation Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making, aropa. Aropa is to accuse or to... dosha aropa. He's making allegations. That might be a better way of translating, aropa. He is making allegations of fault on the part of his devotees. There's another thing that's mentioned here by Prabhupada, and that's pretense. Whose is the pretense? The pretense is Lord Chaitanya's. Let's see. On the pretense of attributing faults. So one thing is there is an allegation being made against Lord Chaitanya's devotees by Lord Chaitanya himself. And then we learn also that this is a pretense. He doesn't actually really mean it, but he's saying it. And then why is he doing that? There's some hidden meaning. If you're making a pretense, that means you're also hiding something. Something is being concealed. So let's consider these points. I'm sure in previous classes you've heard the allegations. So I won't go into the details on those. But essentially there are four devotees that are being accused. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagarananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda Datta. The allegation against Nityananda Prabhu is that he broke Lord Chaitanya's danda. The allegation against Jagarananda Pandit that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions is that he always wants Mahaprabhu to enjoy sense gratification. And the details are not given here by Lord Chaitanya, but in other parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear of some of the efforts of Jagarananda Pandit to arrange for Lord Chaitanya's comfort. He, at one stage, he was concerned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's well-being. He saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainting in ecstasy and exhibiting all the shivering in the body and crying, and he thought, let me cool Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down. Maybe his life airs are out of balance. If I arrange some sandalwood oil for him, then he can be massaged with the oil and it will have like an Ayurvedic cure, an oil massage to address this condition. There is no cure, of course, for ecstasy. But that was his concern. He's seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he's very concerned. So he procured sandalwood. He made the oil himself. So much effort, so much energy. He made it in Bengal. And then he packed the oil carefully packed it into containers, brought it to Jagannath Puri, and entrusted them to Govinda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant. And he said, you massage Mahaprabhu every day. It will be good for him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. What is this? I'm a sannyasi. He wants me to break the regulative principles of a sannyasi. That's the regulative principles being mentioned here. He wants me to enjoy sense gratification, oil massage, not just oil, sandalwood oil massage. And so he said, you better take this oil and put it in the lamps of Jagannath. That would be a better purpose for this oil. And Jagarananda Pandit, he will also get some benefit from this. So we see that Mahaprabhu is making this allegation. Jagarananda, he wants me to enjoy sense gratification. At another stage, Jagarananda Pandit, he arranges, he gets some cotton. And he gets some soft cloth. And he makes a quilt, a mattress. And he makes a pillow for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gives it to Govinda. He says, you have Mahaprabhu lie down on this. He's lying on the cold floor. It's not good for him. We see he's getting ill. So you put out this mattress for him. You give him this nice pillow. And Mahaprabhu, he saw it and he rejected it. What is this? I am a sannyasi. Why are you giving me these luxuries? And so, but the devotees begged Mahaprabhu, we need to do something for you. You're getting ill. And so he agreed that they could make a plantain mattress. That means take the banana bark and they could make a pillow and lay down the banana bark and make a mattress like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict. And Jagarananda Pandit, he sees him as some kind of obstacle to his sannyas dharma, to his sannyas vows. And so he's making that aropa, this allegation. Jagarananda Pandit, he wants me to enjoy sense gratification. Damodar Pandit is another question. He is also out of great intensity of love for Mahaprabhu. He's concerned about how people would perceive Mahaprabhu. He's concerned that if there's any slight possibility for criticism, then those who are envious, they will take advantage of this. And so he So he seemed to have this critical mentality. And there are points where he approaches Mahaprabhu and he expresses his mind. So in particular, there is an incident described where there was a young boy that he was very beautiful. And when Mahaprabhu saw him, he remembered Krishna. And so he would express much affection for this boy, would come to see Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu would talk to him. And this was happening every day. And Damodar Pandit was very disturbed because this boy's father had recently died and his mother was still young and very beautiful. And so he approached Mahaprabhu and he says, "Don't give your attention to this boy." In fact, Damodar Pandit would tell the boy, "Don't go and see Mahaprabhu. Stay away." And he would, when the boy would try to see Mahaprabhu, he would stand there and send him on his way. But the boy knew Mahaprabhu liked seeing him, so he would make his way around and find a way to get to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so one day, Damodar Pandit just could not control himself, and he went to Mahaprabhu and he says, "People will speak. People are going to say bad things. This boy's mother is a widow, and you are a sannyasi, and you should not be giving any attention to him." Mahaprabhu was actually inwardly very pleased at the intensity of Damodar Pandit's love, that he would come and speak to him in this way, transgressing etiquette in this way. And he found a nice service for Damodar Pandit. Eventually he sent him to Bengal and he said, "I need you to look after my mom, Sachi Devi. She's a widow, she's alone." And, there was someone else that was there as well, Vishnupriya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wife from his Purva ashram, from his former ashram. So he found if Damodar Pandit is there looking after his mother, no one will be able to do anything wrong. No one will be able to harm her or in any way transgress etiquette towards her. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings this up from time to time, that Damodar Pandit is very strict with me. He's always chastising me. When the devotees, when Maharaj Prataparudra wanted to see Lord Chaitanya, and Mahaprabhu's refusing. It's his sannyas dharma not to meet materialistic men, not to have association with kings. And so he's refusing. "I will not see Prataparudra Maharaj." And then at one point, as the devotees insist, he says, "Okay, if Damodar Pandit agrees, then I'll see him." And he has this sense, Damodar Pandit's always there to protect my reputation. Damodar Pandit, he's a morality police, so to speak, right? If he will not agree for this. Actually, Damodar Pandit, he says, "My lord, your will is whatever." So Damodar Pandit takes a different tack in that occasion. Mahaprabhu still doesn't see him, at least initially. Prabhupada says that Mahaprabhu sometimes does transgress. So eventually Mahaprabhu does see Prataparudra because the devotees are so eager and Prataparudra Maharaj himself is very eager. And so there is an arrangement where Prataparudra changes his dress into that of a Vaishnava, and he gets to massage Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Later on, there are some other interactions as well. As for Mukunda Dutt, we don't know of any specific at least Chaitanya Charitamrita does not describe any specific incidents like this where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being pushed in some way. But we do know that he's a classmate and he has very intense affection to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a friend from school. He accompanies they accompany Mahaprabhu after he takes sannyas. They accompany him in his journey to Jagannath Puri. And they're there serving him in Jagannath Puri. And now Mahaprabhu is approaching them and says, "I have some charity. I'm a bhikshu. I'm a sannyasi. I have some charity to beg from you." "Oh, yes, what can we give you?" And the charity I wish from you is that you will let me go on pilgrimage alone. Ekale. Do we have it here? Yeah? Okay. Previous verse. Ekale, alone. I want to go alone. This is very painful for the devotees. They can't agree. And so Mahaprabhu, his pretense is that he's making these allegations. "I can't travel with you. This one wants me to enjoy sense gratification. That one's an avadut. This one is very strict with me. I won't be able to I won't be able to do what I want to do, travel and preach in South India. So that's his pretense. There's another pretense. Another pretense is revealed earlier in this chapter. He tells them that my brother, Vishwarup, he left when I was young. He left home. He took sannyas. I want to find him, so you let me do this alone. I will go and search for my brother in the pilgrimage places, because he's a sannyasi, he's traveling in the pilgrimage places. You allow me to do that. You allow me to do this alone. Also a pretense. How do we know? Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us. The verse where Mahaprabhu says, I want to go and find my brother. The next verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, this is a pretense. Mahaprabhu knows that his brother's already passed away. His brother is no longer living. But Mahaprabhu is using this excuse because the love of the devotees is so strong, they won't let him go. He has to find these pretenses in order to allow to, that they will allow him to be separated from them. So then the next question is for us, why does he want to be alone? He's given two false pretenses or pretexts. He's made allegations, and he's given two pretenses for why he should go alone, but why? Why does he want to do this? Earlier in the chapter, he says, I want to preach. But does he need to be alone to preach? Wouldn't his preaching be more effective if he has Nityananda Prabhu dancing by his side, and if he's supported by Jagadananda and Mukunda Dutt? Mukunda Dutt is one of the most incredible kirtaniyas. That's one of his services. He sings the kirtan and Mahaprabhu dances. Wouldn't the preaching be more effective if he took a team with him to support him in his preaching activity? So we have to, at least for my mind, I'm looking further. What is the, why is Mahaprabhu making this pretext or this pretense? Why does he want to be alone? That's an important question. And so I think we're given hints. And the hint is the next chapter, the one that follows from the one we're reading now, Madhya 8. And that is Rai Ramananda Samvad. That's where Mahaprabhu meets Ramananda Rai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has an external mission and an internal mission. His external mission is to establish the Yuga Dharma. And he's doing that. He will be traveling and preaching in South India, visiting holy places. His internal reason is confidential. It's hidden. It's Gupta. It is secret. And that is that he is Krishna himself. In the color of Srimati Radharani and with the bhavana, the mood of Srimati Radharani, but he is Krishna and he has some unanswered questions. He is on a quest. He's on a journey. There is an outward journey that he will take traveling in South India. There is also an inner journey that he's on. His unanswered questions, although he is Sarveshvara, Krishna, the knower who knows everything, omnipotent, he has all potencies. He is all knowing, but he has some unanswered questions. They are revealed in the beginning chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is the nature of my own sweetness, Krishna's sweetness? How will Krishna know that himself? What is it like to love, like he sees Srimati Radharani, loves him so much. What is the nature of Radharani's love? That's his other question. And what is Radharani's experience in loving me? These questions he wants to explore, and he's appeared. That's his internal purpose, his internal reason for his appearance. And so he's been doing the external work. Now he wants to do some internal work as well. He wants to pursue this, and Ramananda Rai is the person who will help him. As he's leaving, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he says to him, if you are going to South India, you should look for Ramananda Rai. He is a great Vaishnava. He doesn't say, it's interesting, he doesn't say, you go and deliver Ramananda Rai. He's a grihastha, government minister engaged in material affairs. He needs to be helped out with deliverance. He says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, he will be a good associate for you. Who is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? He's the Rajguru. He's the Guru of Pratapur. He's a very astute, learned personality. And he tells Mahaprabhu, previously I used to make fun of Ramananda Rai. When I was a Mayavadi, I would make fun of him. Because Ramananda Rai is a governor in South India, he's a viceroy, basically, for Prataparudra Maharaj. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the king, the Rajguru. He's the spiritual master. So they have some connection, some association. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he would make fun of Ramananda Rai. Oh, sentimentalist Vaishnava. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, now that I have received your mercy, I can appreciate this Ramananda Rai is a most exalted Vaishnava. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu journeys south and he visits Ramananda Rai. That's the next chapter. And he asks, he explores bhakti. He explores prema bhakti. And he asks questions. Although he's the sannyasi in this dialogue, he is the questioner. And it is Ramananda Rai who is giving the answers. Ramananda Rai says, it is Mahaprabhu, it is you who are making me speak. And that is part of it. But there, Mahaprabhu is going as an inquirer. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. Mahaprabhu has gone as an inquirer. And this most wonderful discussion, favorite section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita for so many devotees. He explores bhakti from the most preliminary levels to the most exalted. Mahaprabhu kept pressing Ramananda Rai to go further, go deeper, go further. Each response Ramananda Rai gives, Mahaprabhu says, that is okay, go deeper, go further. And so eventually Mahaprabhu is asking the questions of Ramananda Rai concerning the Brajbasis of Vrindavan and the nature of their love for Krishna, how it is unconstrained. It is unconstrained by the social conventions that Mahaprabhu is accusing his devotees of violating here. The love of the Brajbasis is unconstrained by such social conventions, particularly the gopis of Vrindavan. They take every risk for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Krishna, to express their love for Krishna. They take the risk of violating social convention, violating the decrees of their parents and their husbands to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. And that is the nature of their love. Mahaprabhu is hearing this. And then he says, tell me more. Tell me more about this love. And Ramananda Rai, he describes something more of the nature of this love and he describes the qualities of Srimati Radharani. And Mahaprabhu says, tell me more about Srimati Radharani. Tell me about Krishna's sweetness. So essentially those questions that he has, the purpose for the inner purpose for his appearance, he's asking those questions of Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai explains to him how Krishna is so attractive that even Mahavishnu himself is stealing the sons of a Brahmana and Dvaraka in order to have Krishna's darshan. Krishna is so attractive that even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is performing austerities to have Krishna's association and she doesn't get it. She gets a consolation prize. She becomes Srivatsa on the chest of the Lord. Krishna is so attractive that he's attractive even to himself when he sees his reflection in the column, in the polished stone column or floor in Dvaraka, and he becomes spellbound. So this Krishna and that Srimati Radharani, their loving exchanges Mahaprabhu wants to know about, and he asks questions and he receives responses on the nature of that love. And so in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is fulfilling his inner purpose in this journey that he wants to go on alone. He needs to go on alone, or that he will explore only in the association of his most intimate devotees. So who is Ramananda Rai? He's Vishakha. Vishakha is the closest friend of Srimati Radharani. So in making these inquiries of Ramananda Rai, he is in fact taking shiksha from Srimati Radharani's closest friend. Who is Radharani? What is Krishna's sweetness? What is the nature of that love? And so in this way, Krishna, who has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the complexion of Radha, in the mood of Radha, is taking shiksha from Vishakha, Srimati Radharani's closest friend. Later, he will continue on his journey through South India, but he will come back to Ramananda Rai when he completes his purpose. And he says, Ramananda Rai, I want you to come to Jagannath Puri. Retire from your governorship and come there. I want to always be in your association. And who else comes and joins them is Surup Damodara Goswami. Surup Damodara Goswami is Lalita, Shakhi, and so Radha, Lalita, and Vishakha, they will explore these topics together in Jagannath Puri by reading and discussing verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita Govinda, reflecting on these topics in a most confidential way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's external mission is for everyone, but this purpose, it is confidential, and therefore he's going alone. Later on, he will also ask permission to go alone to Vrindavan. Again, when he's traveling and preaching, he has many devotees with him. In fact, at some points are described, thousands of people are following him as he's going through Bengal. But when he goes to Vrindavan, he goes alone. That's his desire. The devotees convince him to take one vipra. They convince him to take one brahmana with him as an associate. And also in this journey to South India, he also takes one vipra. He takes one brahmana with him. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Mukunda, and Damodara, they convince him, okay, you won't take us, fair enough. We cause disturbance with our love. You have accused us, but you take somebody. They're concerned about him. So he said, you take somebody who will carry your water pot and will carry one garment for you. And if you fall over in ecstasy, then they will lift you up and they'll give you some water and they'll do some seva for you. We will be more comfortable if you take one vipra with you. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agrees. He relents. He takes Kali Krishnadas with him as his vipra associate. We just hear of his name in the beginning there, that he takes him. And then he doesn't appear in these dialogues with Ramananda Rai. He's there, but not present. Yeah. Later on, he appears again. He gets into trouble. He becomes seduced by some Bataharis. Prabhupada translates it as gypsies. He becomes seduced by some gypsy girls, and he ends up in the Batahari camp. And these Bataharis, they're like tantric yogis. They have tantric powers as well. People are afraid to go to their camp. But this Kali Krishnadas, this simple vipra, simple brahmana, he's seduced and he's taken into that camp. Mahaprabhu goes in there like a lion and he rescues his devotee. The Bataharis try to chant their incantations, their mantras, and to harm Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, exhibits great effulgence and takes up his vipra assistant by the hair and carries him, actually. Mahaprabhu is tall and he's strong and he carries this vipra out of the Bataharī camp and rescues him. And then when he returns to Puri, he dismisses him. And he tells his devotees, this Kali Krishnadas, he has been a nonsense and he's now dismissed from my services. It says you can go wherever you want. But you see, these independent devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are very merciful. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda, the four of them, the quad, they call that vipra Kali Krishnadas and say, we have a seva for you. You have been rejected by Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu has to reject him because, again, this is the social convention. He cannot keep someone who has been fallen in this way in his close proximity. People will criticize. He has to reject him. But these devotees, they also understand the inner mood of Mahaprabhu, that he is unlimitedly merciful. They call that vipra and say, we have a special seva for you. you go to Bengal and you meet with Sachi Devi, Mahaprabhu's mother, and you meet Advaita Prabhu, and you meet Shivananda Sen, all these exalted devotees of Mahaprabhu, and you tell them Chaitanya Lila. You tell them what Mahaprabhu did in South India. You are the witness to Mahaprabhu's pastimes. You go and share that. And you also invite the devotees to come to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra. So although Mahaprabhu has rejected these devotees, they are giving Mahaprabhu's mercy unlimitedly, even to this apparently rejected devotee. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, at one point at the Madras Rath Yatra, the Madras Mutt, there was a devotee who had misbehaved and he had been sent away. But then he was asking permission to come back. And the devotees consulted him, the temple president and the temple secretary. Can we bring this devotee back? He has been very bad. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I can't agree. I am the head of this institution. I cannot agree to allow people who are misbehaved into the institution. He says, but Nityananda Prabhu is unlimitedly merciful. I will not agree, but maybe some of you will agree. Maybe some of you will extend your mercy. I will not agree because I am the head of the institution. It's not possible for me. But maybe some of you can extend Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So these devotees, they again transgress. Yeah, they're transgressing Mahaprabhu's decree. Send them away. He's kicked out. But they transgress and invite him back in. And they give him a most intimate service to relay Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So, these are some reflections on these very subtle and sensitive topics of allegations, of pretense, and and secrets as well. Allegations, pretense, and secrets, generally we think of these in very negative terms. That these are, devotees shouldn't have allegations, they shouldn't have pretense, and they shouldn't have secrets. But in love, they're justified. When devotees do have allegations and pretense and secrets, it is of a transcendental nature. And we see that in these wonderful dealings between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. For us, yeah, for us, we will not make allegations. We will not also breach the social etiquette, the social dharma. That is our commitment. However, in love, only in love, it may be justified sometimes. Similarly, we will not make pretense. We will not make pretext. We will be, devotees are straightforward in their dealings. However, in love, sometimes, occasionally, it may be justified, but only these are the exceptions, right? And similarly with the secrets and the confidence, devotees will, again, they are transparent in their dealings, but there is also an inner journey that is confidential, and that is something that the devotee will also keep close to their heart, and it's not for everybody. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has these intimate associates with whom he has more confidential discussions. Prabhupada also, on occasion, his ecstasy and his love that he kept hidden, secret, sometimes it pushed the barriers of what he was ready to show, what he was ready to display. And while singing Jai Radha Madhava, for example, in a few different instances, he became absorbed in a trance and there were profuse tears falling from his eyes, and when he returned to consciousness, he said, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and left. He didn't give the class on those occasions. Okay, so any reflections, comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
I'm just going to say... So you said about keeping hidden, and there's one in some place somewhere it says one should keep three things hidden: one's bhava, one's aspiration, one's guru, and one's guru.
One's
mantra.
And one's
mantra.
Japa beads or mantra, yeah. Mm. So here's my question. It's a silly question, but, you know, Mahaprabhu went to Puri and he purified the place. He made the Prime Minister Sarvabhauma. He converted him from Mayavad to Vaishnavism. He, you know, the whole place, kind of, there was a surge of Vaishnavism and Sankirtan. That became his headquarters after he left and came back. And then he would explore all these things that you were saying with Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, all the devotees. But what, somebody could say, oh, what about the fishermen? Why didn't he convert them all to vegetarianism, you know? This is a kind of neophyte question sometimes that we have to deal with. So what would you respond to that?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Not a silly question. Let's ask questions. Let's discuss. Because, yeah, this is how we churn the ocean of the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there is the Mahaprabhu's mercy is unlimited. The living entities also have their free will and independence. Yeah? And so Krishna's mercy is there for all of us at all times. But Krishna's also taking a neutral stance as Paramatma in the heart. He's witnessing and giving everyone as they deserve and desire. So it's the mercy is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is there. But it is also up for the living entity to choose to place ourselves or to be in the current or in the flow of that mercy. The mercy is great. Mahaprabhu's mercy is so great that it is, it's difficult to avoid those that are in the flow of the current. It's difficult to not get swept up. Nonetheless, there is still the free will of the living entity. What about Kali Krishnadas? Traveling with Mahaprabhu, his own servant secretary. You're asking about the fisherman. That's his profession. That's what he's learned through the generations. That's what he does. What about the Mahaprabhu's own personal traveling assistant? He gets confused. But that is our condition. We are souls in the material world with independence. And we have that choice to be bahirmukha, to turn our face away from Krishna, or to turn to see him. And that's always there for us, that volition. And so, yeah, even when we're even when the floodwaters, the Panchatattva described as breaking open the store of love and flooding. But then Kaviraj Goswami, in describing that, he says it swept up everyone, logicians and pundits and spiritualists. And he says, but there were some who avoided it as well. And so Mahaprabhu had to make another pretext. But that's another story. The pretext of taking sannyas, a pretense of taking sannyas, his trick.
Hare Krishna. Thank
Hare
you
Hare.
Class. How can we make sure that we don't avoid getting swept up in that mercy?
Oh, how do we make sure we don't get, we don't avoid, yeah, getting into the current of mercy? It's the choice. Yeah, it's as simple as that. Yeah, it really is. Mahaprabhu says, if you say, Krishna, tumara hana, Krishna, I am yours, he tells Sanatana Goswami. If somebody says, Krishna, tumara hana, Krishna, I am yours, you are in the current of mercy. You are in that flow. We have to say it, though. And how many are willing to say that? And so, but as long as we are saying it, we're there. We're in that flow. One way or another, whatever our position, we will get carried. And so, but the choice is always there for the soul. Does that help?
Yeah.
Is there some way that we can make, I guess we just have to always say that. But what's...
Let me say this. Let me say this. Maybe this will help. For your concern. Once one is placed in the current of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, even if, like Kali Krishnadas, we get distracted, Mahaprabhu will come and extract you once again. He will rip you out of that position and bring you back into his mercy. Once you establish that relationship, and tell Krishna, Krishna Tamarahana, and you forget to say it again afterwards, you forget, then the current of mercy will come and find you, one way or another, because you've changed the relationship. You change the relationship from one of neutrality, which is the relationship of all living entities with Paramatma, to one of active engagement. You have told Krishna, I actively want you involved in my life, and I want you to bring me to your lotus feet. And you've told that to him, and so he knows he can intervene. He has your consent, so to speak, right, to intervene, and so he will. He'll be sending indicators, messages, people, devotees, one way or another, whether in this life or the next or even one after that, one will be brought back to the current of mercy. Are you more satisfied with that?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. What about making others, make sure others don't miss the ocean?
Yeah, so the devotees are very keen to help others receive Mahaprabhu's mercy, to receive Krishna's mercy. That is the... Whereas Paramatma is neutral in respecting the free will of the living entity, the devotee is not. The devotee is discerning. The devotee has vivek and understands. This person is envious. Okay, I'll avoid them. This person is pious and has potential. They want to be reminded of Krishna, they just don't know it. And so the devotee is very keen to help remind people. And the devotee is enacting interventions. And that's why the devotee is more merciful than Krishna. Krishna respects the free will of the living entity. The devotee initiates interventions to remind the living entity to enact their free will to turn and face Krishna. Thank you. I'll come to you. I will.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. I have a question about the regulative principles of the sannyas. Okay. Thank you for a wonderful class. I have a question about the regulative principles of the sannyas. I want to know about offering dakshina to the Guru Maharaj, because sometimes we can get into the tendency of offering too much, and he can be telling you, that has happened to me, that you are a sannyas, you are giving me too much, I don't want to break these regulative principles, because we don't have a lot of information about these principles. And then we just see that the guru has needs, like material needs, back in my temple in Spain, a cold room or a mattress that is not good enough, and they just start giving and giving. And then he tells you, no, this is too much, you're making me break my regulative principles, but it's not clear to us when to stop, when not to give no more.
Yeah, okay. Good question. So service to the spiritual master, or service particularly in the sannyas dharma, and when does that service become too much that it becomes an impediment to their sannyas dharma, as Mahaprabhu is alleging his devotees have done? Also, you were saying, because we don't have an understanding of the full understanding of the of what that sannyas dharma is. So... two things. One is that we can ask. Another is that that we can also see what is the convention around us. So the way sannyas dharma was done in a particular time and the way sannyas dharma is enacted today is different. I'll say that. Definitely there's a difference between the... And the sannyas dharma of a Vaishnava is different than the traditional sannyas dharma. The traditional sannyasi thinks that they become liberated on taking sannyas. And so renunciation and austerity is their main sadhana. For our devotees, Vaishnava sannyas, Mahaprabhu's sannyas is a pretext. It's a preaching tool, a preaching opportunity. His sadhana is not renunciation. He's concerned about it because people see him as a sannyasi, so they're naturally respectful to his sannyas dharma, and then he has an opportunity to tell them about Krishna. But it's not his sadhana. For impersonal sannyasis, it is their sadhana. That's what they do. For our Vaishnava sannyasis, our sadhana is bhakti. And so here's the answer to your question. Whatever is favorable to their bhakti, to maintain to that they have a, you said the room is cold, keep it warm. Yeah, they should be healthy. They should be strong, warm, healthy, yeah? Yeah, so that they can practice bhakti and share bhakti. That's the consideration of Vaishnava sannyas. Thank you. Last question. Okay, two. One, and you'll get the final question, but we'll start with you because, yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your class. Very, very nice class. As you know, we're mentioning and we hear this all the time about having internal and external reasons, at least Mahaprabhu himself. If we're seeing this in ourselves to some extent, at least in my understanding, might be some elements of duplicity. You know, that I have external reasons for doing something, but deep inside there's something else. So I have different hidden agendas. And we're hearing that the definition of the sadhu is that they're fully transparent. In whatever they're doing, everything is clear. There's nothing hidden. So I just wanted to ask, because at times I can also see it in my Krishna consciousness. I present myself in a particular way, but the internal meditation is not matching. And so that can also be misleading to others maybe who are looking at Vaishnavas as an example and things like this. So how can we get rid of this duplicity?
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. And please pass the mic on to Prabhuji. So two things. One is that we are conditioned souls. So yeah, even though we may take the external dress of a Vaishnava, there's going to be stuff in the heart. It's going to take time to purify. So don't let that be an excuse to not practice. Sometimes we might say, well, I don't have authenticity. I'm inauthentic wearing this dress, chanting the holy name, dancing before the deities, because in my heart I actually desire material sense gratification. The process is not, oh, let me stop chanting, stop trying to be a devotee because I'm not a real devotee. No, it's continue those activities. Your heart would be purified. That's the process of bhakti. The knot in the heart will be untied through the practice of hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, chanting the holy name. So don't let that be. Be conscious, be aware, but then be prayerful. Krishna, this is what's there. Please help me to deal with it. So we should have an inner life. And it may be secret, confidential. We can reveal those things to confidential devotees and ask for guidance on how to deal with them. And as we become more elevated in devotional service, our inner feelings will be also, they may also be confidential in our advanced realizations about Krishna and finer principles of devotional service. So we cultivate an inner life. We have an external life. And we have an inner life, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does as well. We must be cultivating that inner architecture, so to speak, of the heart in our practice of bhakti. And it will have different flavors at different stages of spiritual advancement. Thank you. Final comment or question?
Yeah, it's a comment for Mataji there. There's sometimes, for myself and my Guru Maharaj that their needs, I have to say, maybe because I have a pension, but also it's it can be used in his service. Mm-hmm. And what he tends to do is that he accepts the cash, but what he does, he redirects it into an ISKCON service, an education center, or whatever. So he has that prerogative, you know, because, for me, if there is any personal need, I always say, and also if there's any personal needs that you have, feel free to take from that. And basically, that's what they do, actually. They redistribute within the ISKCON setup that promotes or gives needs where needs are, you know. It can't always be a personal thing, but in certain cases, that would keep the satisfaction of everybody for their not in their personal account, as it were. So there's that other dimension as
well. Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells the story that someone was saying, oh, my guru never touches money. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, he said very proudly, my guru Maharaj counts millions of dollars. That's Prabhupada. Why? Vaishnava sannyasis are also not, they're not afraid of Krishna's energy. It's to be used in Krishna's service. And so they're seeing it in that light. Thank you all very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.